good to be back down here with y'all. If you got your Bible this morning, you can turn over to the book of 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. We have a lot of turning, so if you don't want to turn to all of them, you can maybe write them down. I do feel like this would be a help to you this morning. A lot of prayer requests, but it's like the song we were singing. Everything that's going on, I know we all have troubles and trials, and it's not just in this church or in one particular family. It's churches and families across the board, but God is so good, and His mercies are new every morning. And I can testify to that, and I know you can too. So it's always, you say, well, that's just a simple song, and it don't say a whole lot. Yeah, but think about what it does say. He's good no matter what, and He's worthy no matter what. So do remember all those that were mentioned in prayer. I know there's a lot of tough times. But 2 Peter chapter number 1, try to be a help to you this morning. Give you some stuff on something that's maybe not spoken of a whole bunch. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin reading verse 5. 2 Peter 1, 5. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you for allowing us to come to church again. Lord, we thank you for waking us up this morning. Thank you for your goodness and grace that just goes with us day after day and gives us what we need to live. Lord, I pray that you'd be with all those that were mentioned in prayer. Lord, the ones that are sick, the ones that have lost loved ones, I pray that you'd comfort them as only you can. And Lord, I pray you'd help us now as we look into the Scriptures and try to teach. God, I pray that you just guard my mind and my mouth. And Lord, I pray that you would help me to be a help to somebody. Lord, I pray that you'd receive all the honor and glory, and I pray that we'd all be made better Christians. And Lord, we thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, what this is talking about here and what we just read is some things that when the Lord saves you, He gives you a whole bunch of stuff. We know all that, right? He gives you eternal security, some big things, some things that nobody else can give you, some things that without the Lord Jesus Christ dying on a cross, you could never, ever obtain. But some of the things we just read about, He gives you, and He tells you there in verse number 5, He says, you add it to your faith. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge. So the Lord gives you this stuff, and He says, I'm going to give you, you know, eternal life, and I'm going to save you and all that, but I'm also going to give you some responsibility. And a lot of people never get to that point. They get saved, and they say, well, that's it. Well, getting saved, yes, that's the best decision you'll ever make and the most important. But once you're saved, that is just the beginning of being a Christian. I say all the time, and people kind of look at me funny, there's a difference in being saved and being a Christian. Being a Christian is a life. Being saved is something you do, and you should do it. You'll go to hell without it. But being a Christian is something that you have to do every single day. You have to deny your flesh every single day and strive to live for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's being a Christian. And so some of the things that it mentions there, godliness and temperance and patience, we could break them down and go through a series on all of them, but the one I want to talk about this morning, you can be turning over to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, I want to talk a little bit about temperance. And keep in mind that I heard someone say not long ago, a preacher shouldn't preach on anything unless he already has a victory over it. Well, if that's the case, there wouldn't be any preachers. I know I sure wouldn't be preaching. I do try to do my best, but I don't have victory over much. I got my salvation nailed down. I know I got the victory over that in that sense, but I'm still wrapped in flesh, and I still do struggle just like anybody else. So I am not a believer of having victory over something in order to preach it. I do believe you should try to have the victory over it, but we won't ever have the victory over it until we're in Jesus Christ's presence in heaven. And that's just the bottom line. So don't think by any means that I'm just fussing at you this morning, because it goes right at me too. Temperance is emotional restraint or self-control. And I want to narrow it down a little bit and talk about anger. Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 26, yeah, you kind of feel the air suck out of the room when you say that word. I know it's a big thing, especially, and don't take offense to this, but it's how it is where we live in the South. There's a lot of people, and you know some right now, that it's like they're always angry. I can think of a lot of old men up where I live that all my life, they have just been a mad old man. Just an old grouch. And it's like, why in the world? And it's almost like they brag about it. We brag about getting mad. Well, that's something to brag about. Why don't you brag about the Lord? Ephesians chapter number 4 and verse 26. Y'all just bear with me. We'll go as slow as we can and try to make it as painless as possible. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Now that's something right there. It's saying it's okay to be angry. There's some things, and we'll look at here in just a second. There are some things that should make you angry as a Christian. There are some sins. All sins should make you angry. There are some things in the condition of this world that should make you angry. And as a Christian, you see the way people treat the Lord today and how they just curse him and mock his name and deny him and all that. That should make your blood boil, really. It does me. I think about my own self sometimes and my own testimony and how sorry I can be as a Christian. And I get mad at myself. Being angry is not the sin. There are some things that if there is any depth to your Christian walk and your Christian life, there are some things that ought to make you angry. You ought to have some things you look at and it just stir you up. And if not, then you might need to check up. If you can look at something going on in the condition of the world today and it doesn't make you mad, you might need to pray and get down on your knees and ask God to give me some fire back. Give me some grit back as a Christian. So the Bible says, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Let's look at some of the right kind of anger. Hold your place there in Ephesians. Come over to the book of Psalm chapter 97. Some things should make you angry. Some things ought to stir you up. Psalm chapter 97, as I said, we have a lot of scripture to turn to. If you don't turn to them all, I do encourage you at least jot them down and read over them sometime. Psalm chapter 97, and look at verse 10. Psalm 97:10. You that love the Lord, hate evil. He preserveth the souls of his saints. He delivereth them out of the hand of the wicked. So it says there, we're supposed to hate evil. Evil things ought to make us angry. It ought to stir something up on the inside. We ought to hate it. Come over to Psalm 119. Psalm 119, 104. Psalm 119, verse 104. Through thy precepts I get understanding, therefore I hate every false way. False doctrine, false teaching, the way of the world, the way of the devil, deception in the church today. You ought to hate it. Ought to make you mad. So I just want you to see some of these things to say, well, I'm not getting up here telling you you shouldn't ever get angry. Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says, be ye angry. Because immediately people's mind go to Jesus over there when he turned over the tables and drove out the people of the temple. He was angry, but he didn't sin. Something stirred him up on the inside. He saw the temple being corrupted. It was turned into a den of thieves. So people automatically say, well, Jesus got angry. Well, he sure did. The Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. Verse number 128, same chapter. Psalm 119, 128. Again, therefore I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right, and I hate every false way. Look at verse number 163, same chapter. 119, 163. I hate and abhor lying, but thy law do I love. You ought to hate when somebody lies to you. You ought to hate when a man stands behind the pulpit and lies to you. You ought to hate when the devil lies to you. You ought to hate when he says, you know, you're all right. You know, it's just a small thing. You'll be okay. You ought to hate that. You know that even if it is a small sin in our eyes, sin is still sin. That's a lying tongue. You ought to hate it. Come over to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 6. Proverbs chapter number 6 and verse 16. Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, a hand that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. So there are some things that make God angry. Look at chapter number 8 of the book of Proverbs. Chapter number 8 and verse 13. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. So I just want to be real clear on some things that ought to make us angry, some things that ought to make us mad, and some things we ought to hate as Christians. But it says, be ye angry and sin not. As I was studying over this stuff, and it took me a long time putting this together because it seemed like after every verse I read, I had to crawl under my desk and pray about it because it was the Lord hitting me with stuff. But I thought about, you know, what if the Lord acted like I do sometimes? You know, at work or something, you get in a bind and you mess up or something happens and you just, you know how it is, just a typical day, something goes wrong and you just blow up, start slinging stuff. That's me. I'm not above it. I'm not trying to lie to you and tell you that it's not. But I just wonder if the Lord acted one time toward me, how I act every day. If he just blew up one time, and I give him plenty of reasons to. I give him reasons every single day that he ought to cut me off. But I wondered if he did it one time, if he just lashed out one time in anger, y'all would never see me again in eternity. That's where you'd see me, because one time is all it would take. But he doesn't. Over in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, you don't have to turn there, but it says several times it talks about the Lord's anger was not kindled, but his hand was still stretched out. He was still angry at what was going on, but his hand was still stretched out. I feel like he's that way with me sometimes. I disappoint him. I make him angry, but his hand is still stretched out to me. Say, why is that? Because he is temperate. And he tells us to add temperance to our faith, as we read in 2 Peter. Over 100 times in the Bible, you'll read the Lord is slow to anger. It doesn't say the Lord doesn't get angry. It says he's slow to anger. And that's our trouble. We're the opposite. You ever hear somebody brag about having a short fuse? What is that to brag about? We're proud because we can blow our lid and act a fool at the drop of a hat. I've heard people say they'd fight at the drop of a hat. And if you'll turn around, they'll drop the hat. Big deal, man. What's so great about having a temper like that? Who wants to be around a person that acts like that? Anger, temperance. Coming back to Ephesians chapter number 4. Ephesians chapter number 4, the next verse, verse number 27. I want to try to help you and help myself as well. Look at why we have to be temperate, or look at what happens when there is no temperance in our life. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 26, be ye angry and sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. The next verse, verse 27, neither give place to the devil. When we sin out of anger and we lash out and blow up, we just give place right to the devil. We just open up the door for him to walk in and take control. Back to Proverbs chapter number 15. Again, hold your place. You might just want to hold one hand in Proverbs and hold one hand in Ephesians. We'll be back and forth a lot. But it gives the devil a chance to work. And the last thing we want to do is give him any more room than he already has. You give him an inch, he takes a mile. So there are some things we can do to prohibit him from doing that. Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 1. Proverbs 15, 1. A soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Proverbs 15, look at verse 18. Proverbs 15:18, a wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Chapter 16, verse 32. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh a city. Book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse number 9. Be not hasty in thy spirit to be angry, for anger resteth in the bosom of fools. You know, there's been lives ruined because somebody acted out one time. My dad, before he started pastoring our church, he had a prison ministry. He'd go preach at a prison about 45 minutes away from the house. He'd go over there every Sunday night and preach to those guys. And a lot of those guys, he would tell me, they're in there because of one moment, one decision. Their whole life leading up to that event, they might have been good people. But whether they took somebody's life or whether they just made a bonehead decision, whatever it is, they're all in there because of one thing. A majority of them. Now, a lot of them, it's just thing after thing, but a lot of them, it's just one time. There's been homes ruined because somebody acted out of anger one time. Families destroyed because of lack of temperance. There's been a lot of Christian homes, Christian families, Christian lives ruined because of lack of temperance. And we think, well, the Lord gives it to me when I get saved. He gives you the opportunity to add it to your faith. You still have free will. Now, he tells you, if you don't add it to your faith, you run the risk of being barren or unfruitful. The only fruit you'll produce will be rotten, all because of a lack of temperance. One time, somebody lost their temper, and the devil took over. They gave place to the devil one time. Come over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter number 1. 2 When you act or sin out of anger, it opens the door to sin and to unclean spirits. 2 Timothy chapter number 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You have no soundness of mind when you're raging hot, angry. You ever heard somebody say, dare I ask, have you ever said, I was so mad I couldn't see straight. Or I was so mad all I could see was the color red. Well, that is not a sound mind. And that is not a spirit that is given by the Lord. That is not a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. So if it's not of the Lord, who can it come from? And people boast about it. I just get so mad I can't see straight. Well, that's a problem. Be ye angry, get mad, do what you got to do, but you better learn how to hold it in. You better learn how not to act on it. Give place to the devil. Become blind to your own faults. We won't turn over there for the sake of time, but over in 2 Samuel chapter number 12, you remember that's the chapter after David's sin. Nathan the prophet comes to him and he describes a situation to him of a man that's done wrong, and David loses it. He said, well, he's got to pay up. David had just forgotten what he did in chapter 11. What did Nathan say to him? Thou art the man. You're the one that messed up. You're the one that got caught up in the sin. Now, do you want the Lord to make you pay for it? There's no logic or reason when you act out in anger. I know when I get mad, I'm always right. It's always my way or the highway. And that's not the truth. That's not the truth. That's where temperance comes in. Become blind to your own faults. We forget who we really are. You get mad, start trying to defend something, you just forget about all about self. I forget about all I've done wrong just that day since I woke up. I want to hold it over somebody else's head. That's not adding temperance to my faith. That's giving place to the devil. How to get past it? How to avoid losing your temper? How to avoid losing your cool, acting in anger? You got to stop. The Bible says over in Psalm 46, be still. Stop. If I were speaking to myself, I wouldn't ever tell you this, but if I were just talking to myself, I'd say you got to learn to shut up. You got to learn to zip it. I remember my little brother Reed told me one time, I guess he got it from school or something, I was getting on to him, and he told me, he said, zip it, lock it, and put the key in the pocket. In other words, he didn't want to hear what I had to say. And sometimes it's best that we don't let people hear what we have to say when we're angry or mad. It'll hurt your testimony. It'll give place to the devil. Proverbs chapter 18. Neither give place to the devil. Some things to think about before you act out. See, if you just stop and pause, you're already taking a huge step. Because so many times you get in an argument and you're just speaking without thinking. You're just slinging words out there and you're not stopping to think. But if you will just stop and take a breath just for an instant, that's a huge step in letting the Lord walk into your conscience and say, hold up. You better hold up. Stop and think. Allow your conscience to kick in. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof. You got to realize and recognize the power of your own words, of the words that come out of your mouth. Stop and think about it. You know that old saying that you used to hear when you were a kid, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never harm me. That's a lie. That's straight out of the pits of hell. There's been some things that maybe somebody said to me, I'd rather them hit me with a stick. I'd rather them hit me with a rock than what they said. Because what people say, it sticks in the ears and in the minds and in the hearts of the other individual, and it goes with them the rest of their life. And I stopped and read that and thought, I wonder if that's ever been me. I wonder if my tongue has ever been the death. Or my tongue has ever been the deciding factor in somebody's life of a particular direction that their life went after that. God forbid. After all the Lord's done for me, and all the times He could have took my head off and had every right to do it and He didn't, and my tongue is going to wreck somebody else's life, that'd be a shame. Got to realize the power of your words. Proverbs chapter 19, verse 11. Proverbs 19:11, the discretion of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. Got to have discretion. You got to stop. You have to think. Don't just lash out. Don't just throw words out there. Pause. Take a breath. Count to three. Do something. Allow your mind to start working again. You ever think, and I've heard say a lot, and I've said it, you get in an argument with somebody, and then about 10, 15 minutes later, you think of something you wish you would have said. You think, man, if I'd have said that, that would have been right on point. Maybe that's just the Lord reminding you, hey, I kept you from saying that. Maybe that's something you should have said that would have turned the situation worse than it already was. And I'm just letting you think it now to let you know that, hey, I do have you. I am looking out for you. Know when to shut our mouth. Use discretion. It's glory to pass over a transgression. Back to Ephesians chapter number 4. We're talking about how to avoid it, how to get past it. You got to pause and think. Allow your conscience to kick in. Ephesians 4:26, the last part of it. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Back to Proverbs 21. You got to let it go. That's a hard thing to do. That's a very hard thing to do. Proverbs 21, verse 23. Proverbs 21, 23. Whoso keepeth his mouth and his tongue keepeth his soul from troubles. We'll heap more trouble and sorrow on ourselves just by opening our mouth. We got to let it go. I remember earlier in this summer, our church had a little softball team, just slow pitch deal. And if you've ever been to one of those, you know it can get heated. And it didn't go that way. I mean, there wasn't an argument during the game, thank God. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But it wasn't one of those games like that. I mean, it went okay. There weren't any crosswords or anything, but we got beat. We led the whole game, and we got beat in the last inning. And I went home, and laying in bed that night, I was so mad. And I got to thinking, you idiot. A slow-pitch church softball game, and you got to be at work at 4:30. You got to get up at 4:30 to go to work. Here it is midnight, and you're laying in bed mad about a softball game. Couldn't let it go. That's a problem. Because if I'll get that worked up over a ball game, think of something that really matters. But it's the truth. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Get mad, but let it go. Get over it. You ever laid awake all night mad about something? Stewing. I mean, smoke out the ears. What'd it do? It cost you a bunch of sleep, what it did. Made you ill the next day because you didn't sleep that night. Just carries on. Why? Because we let the sun go down upon our wrath. Nighttime kicks in, everybody goes to bed, it's just you up, laying flat on your back, looking up at the ceiling fan, mad at the world. To what avail? Nothing. Just losing sleep and giving place to the devil because there's a lack of temperance. Learn to let it go. Do not sleep on it. Somebody asks you sometime, and I've said the same thing. You know, you're getting ready to make a decision. Say, well, let me sleep on it. That's fine to do when it comes to making a decision. Think on it. Pray on it. Not when it comes to anger. You better not sleep on anger because you'll wake up and that thing will be multiplied. And over time, it'll get worse. It'll get darker. It'll get thicker. It'll get heavier. And it comes to a head, and you know what I'm talking about. Because there's no temperance added to our faith. Make an effort to get past it. I know it's hard, especially when it's somebody else's fault. I know we don't mess up. It's hard to forgive when somebody does us wrong when they cross us because we don't do people like that. But we still got to let it go. Still got to get past it. Matthew chapter number 7. I'll give you a couple more and we'll close it down. Matthew chapter number 7. Trying to help you. Trying to help me too, I guess. Matthew chapter number 7, verse 2. Very familiar. Well, Matthew chapter 7, verse 1 is probably backslidden Christians' most favorite verse in the whole Bible. Judge not that you be not judged. Everybody will throw that one at you. Matthew 7, 2, For with what judgment you judge, ye shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? Thou hypocrite, first cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast your pearls before the swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you. You got to let it go. You got to be mindful of your own life. You ever prayed one of those prayers for God to get somebody? If I'd be honest, I've prayed that prayer. Lord, you get them. You know what they did. You get them. And then what do you turn around and pray for yourself? Lord, bless me. Lord, help me. Lord, I need you. I need a blessing. I need a miracle. I hadn't done anybody wrong, Lord. Maybe what I said to them was wrong, but Lord, you know I was justified in doing so. Lord, bless me and get them. I've caught myself doing that before. If we can't pray a prayer for ourselves, why would we pray it for somebody else? If we can't pray for somebody in the same regard as we pray for ourselves, I know if when I'm praying, I beg for mercy. I beg for God's grace and His provision, His protection. I ain't ever prayed, Lord, get me. Never prayed that. Not one time, ever. And probably won't ever, if I got any sense. So why would I pray it for a brother or somebody that I'm angry at? Just something to think about. Be mindful of our own life. I've got my own problems. I have my own issues. People say, I've got enough going on in my own life. I can't worry about anybody else's. But they still do. They still overlook their problems and look right at somebody else's and point them out. If we had some temperance, if we could add some temperance to our faith, we may not be that way. Give it to the Lord. Be mindful of your own life. Let it go. Stop and think before you start speaking. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Same passage, continuing on. Ephesians 4, 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. You got to let it go. You got to be mindful of your own life. You got to stop and think. And you got to forgive. You got to forgive somebody even if they don't ask you to. Even if they don't say, I'm sorry. Sometimes you have to say, I'm sorry. I thought about that. When was the last time in my own life that I went to somebody? And maybe I've prayed and said, Lord, would you tell him I apologize? He said, no, you go tell him. Lord, just tell him that, you know, they made me mad and I said something I shouldn't. Just tell him, you know, that I'm sorry and all that. He said, no, you go to him. How long's it been? Go to him, I'm sorry. Sorry for what I said. Sorry for what I did. Even if they don't say the same. Got to apologize. Got to forgive. That's a hard one. There's people I know right now that have been holding on to stuff for 40 or 50 years. People in church. And they're just as bitter. And they're just as hard. And they're just as black and dark. And it's rolled over into their spiritual life. And they don't hear from God. They don't speak to God. They still go to church and take up a spot on a pew. But they're angry over something that happened decades ago. And it's all because they refuse to forgive. Or they refuse to say, I'm sorry. And lastly, Hebrews chapter number 8. You got to forget it and move on. Easy to say, not so easy to do. Why? Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12, the Lord says, For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness, and their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Because every single day the Lord does it for you and me. Every single day He takes our sins, we give them to Him, and He washes them away. And we sin against Him, and He forgives us. And He doesn't dangle it over our head. He doesn't hold a grudge. Now we reap what we sow according to the flesh, but that's not God punishing us or holding something over our head. That's just the way life goes. That's what the Bible says. You reap what you sow. But it could always be worse. But He forgives us every single day. He doesn't remember our iniquities. As long as we're living, we're going to be dealing with people. And people are going to make us angry. That's just the way, that's the nature of a man. We don't all get along all the time. People are going to make us angry. Not a problem. The problem comes in when we let the sun set on it. We refuse to forgive. We sleep on it. We refuse to apologize. And we deny the temperance that the Lord is offering us to add to our faith. And as a Christian, we become barren and unfruitful. So that's just something. This morning, I know that's been a help to me. It's convicted the fire out of me reading and studying that stuff. But I ask you, just think about it. Lord, help me add some temperance to my faith. Give me some patience, some godliness. See if it doesn't change things. Heavenly Father, God, Lord, we thank you for all you do. We thank you for your word that we have to study. Lord, it's a rule book and it's a guide and it's a compass, Lord. And we thank you for everything that it says, the things that cut and the things that make us feel better. Thank you for the truth that's in it. Lord, I pray that we take this and use it and apply it to our lives, Lord, to be temperate, Lord, and to be like you, be slow to anger. Lord, keep our hands stretched out. Continue to just be diligent, Lord, and add these things to our faith. And we pray, God, you'd go with us in this next hour in the preaching. Lord, I pray if there's somebody here, maybe that's lost or backslid or whatever their condition may be, Lord, I pray that you would just convict their heart through the power of your word. I pray that we'd all be strengthened, Lord, and made aware. And Lord, I pray that we'd all do better each and every day to live for you and to love you more and to be a better Christian. We thank you so much for all you do. In Jesus' name, amen.